In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, here we are nearly halfway through Advent. As soon as we mark. The themes of Advent, we've heard put different ways. We talk about the sureness of death, the definite idea of death, the definite idea of judgment, the definite idea of either heaven or hell. There are other things that we look at as well. Last week, being the first in Advent, as we light the Advent candle, we think the Sunday next before Advent is sort of like that is 400 years between Malachi and the annunciation to Our Lady of the coming Messiah, that she would bear the Son of God in her womb. So the first candle is that increasing light. It'll get brighter as we get towards Christmas. So in Advent 1, we look back in history, as we know from Scripture, and the Church Fathers have taught us. We look back in history as our Lord becomes incarnate, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Also, the other theme that we think about is, talking about the themes of death, judgment, heaven, or hell. We prepare ourselves for His second coming. Now, will He come while we're still here, or will He come after we've been taken away from Him? Either way, we are coming to that day where we have to make our choice. Advent 2 and 3, the Word of the Bible, as we've just, that beautiful hymn, A Word of God Incarnate. The Word was always, is forever in heaven. The Word became flesh. Now, some heresies would say that Christ became God at His birth. Christ was always God. Always was. The Word was ever, forever in heaven. And He became flesh as the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds. That means He has always been, is, and always will be. The second part of the next Sunday, sort of looked then as the last prophet, John the Baptist. He proclaims the coming of the Lord. And our Lord comes in, as we will get into that more in Epiphany, but He's announcing the coming of the kingdom. And Jesus does come to be baptized of Him, fulfilling the law. We surely know that Christ didn't need have any need of being baptized for remission of sin, but He followed the law as He did. When I come back after Christmas, we'll talk about the circumcision, again fulfilling the law. Then in Advent 4, we start focusing towards Christmas itself. The Word has been announced to Mary. She bears in her womb God in the flesh, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, even Jesus Christ. So we then, in 2 weeks, will look for the actual nativity of our Lord. But this week, on the second Sunday of Advent, is on the Holy Scriptures. The Word which becomes the Word made flesh, and which is announced to Our Lady by the Archangel Gabriel. I'm going to read what came from the morning office in preparation for the day to get us to the liturgy that we have the day of the second Sunday of Advent. Now I'm going to read the entire passage, if you'll bear with me, of St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the entire third chapter. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I think we're seeing that. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, this thing with same-sex marriage and transgender, our natural affections are going by the wayside. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, we kind of come under persecution for our beliefs and our beliefs that we hold of our dear Lord and Savior. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do I come to church or do I go out on the golf course? You know, that's a choice that I wasn't real good at making for a long time. So, you know, where do we want to be? Do we want to be in the Lord's house as we are here to gather together? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And St. Paul exhorts Timothy and us from such to turn away. There are a lot of churches, as we of the continuum, that have a form of godliness, lovely liturgy, lovely music, beautiful edifices. But it's a form of godliness, but they don't deny the power of, you know, they don't understand what happens in the Eucharist. They don't understand that the Bible is the living Word of God. For of this sort are they which creep in the houses leading captive with sins led away, I'm skipping some of it, led away with divers lust. And this is something that we've encountered today. Some people just keep trying to learn things, new ideas, and that's good. But then St. Paul exhorts Timothy, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Truth only exists in God. There's no this relativism, which is a four-letter word with too many letters. You know, have well, what's good for me may be good for you, but what is good for everyone is good for all. And God is the source and the only source of truth. So what do we have? But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, St. Paul again speaking to Timothy. Doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, and to endure persecutions, afflictions. And St. Paul further says, I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He will deliver us. It may not be in the way that we have planned, even in the way that we like. We may be delivered by martyrdom. Christians in the Middle East at the hands of ISIS are dying every day, proclaiming their faith. These awful pictures you see of the beheading of Christians. But God will lead them through, as St. Paul said, by death. And they will forever abide with the Lord. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'll say again, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You go in the marketplace here and people ask you, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? Well, you just, as St. Francis used to say, you preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. So by your life. And you give that to other people if they're willing to listen. We can't force it upon them. If they're willing, if they see something in their life that draws them, so what is, you know, you've gone through this awful thing in your life, a disease or lost your home or something like that, and you still have a cheerful countenance, and then you can give, as St. Peter says, a good account of what you believe and why you believe it. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. St. Paul continues, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's the word here, prophesied the word becoming flesh, as we will partake in the Eucharist. And then St. Paul ends with a very familiar scripture, which I read at the beginning. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction and in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We take this in, and as that glorious hymn gave a far better sermon than I could, that beautiful hymn. If you have a chance, read that again. Read it over and over again. The hymn just says it all. That what the word will do for us, what we need to do for it, to take care of, take it in our hearts, put, make it a golden casket within our hearts so that from our being exudes what it says to us. And that when we've done that, we'll be ready, truly ready, to receive, in, as in history, the infant Jesus who grows to be a man, who grows up from what seems insignificant, a simple word made to Our Lady with nobody around. The word becomes flesh within her. At Christmas, then the glory which we'll sing for the first time at Christmas, proclaim that He has come, He's in the flesh. And then that root of Jesse, speaking also in another way, the root of a twig that will grow into a tree, and that tree which will embrace our Lord on the cross as He dies for us, giving us the victory, that victory which is proven by Easter. And so I would say to all, let us have a meaningful Advent, a time of self-examination in a way similar to Lent, but that more of that sense of expectation of the Lord coming to us liturgically at Christmas and in the Eucharist, and then when He comes again in His glorious majesty. So let us prepare for Christmas, and then we can truly say, Merry Christmas. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.